This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To begin, after welcoming my brothers and sisters to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have certainly honored the human being. We have certainly honored the children of Adam. And Allah Azza wa Jal has honored the children of Adam in so many ways, that He created them with His own two hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He created them standing upright, their faces aren't in the ground. And He created them with hands so they could lift food to their faces, not have to lower their faces to the ground. And He created them with a very unique, very special spirit, ruh, that He created for them. And in so many other ways. But the greatest way Allah has ever honored the human beings, which eclipses everything else, every other form of prestige, every other privilege Allah gave us, is that He enabled us, He gave us the opportunity to connect with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you think about it, how does that even work? Like, logically speaking, how does a tiny, temporary, limited, weak, flawed human being, which we are, ever connect on any level, or understand on any level, or have a relationship on any level with a God that is so mighty and so magnificent and infinite and majestic and perfect and flawless? How does that even work? It's a pure gift from Him. Nothing you could ever fully understand, nothing you could ever fully calculate. That's why, for example, when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ, we made the Qur'an easy to be remembered, to be recited, to be rehearsed. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the great companion and cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commented at that point and he said, لَوْلَا أَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِ الْآدَمِيِّينَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْخَلْقِ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمَ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ. Were it not for the fact that Allah deliberately, intentionally eased it, facilitated it to be repeated on the tongues of the children of Adam, no one of the creation would ever be able to repeat, to reproduce the words of the Creator. How does that even work? How does that make sense? You would be mind blown if you heard an animal repeat the words of the human beings. And these are two creatures. These are all creation. So how does the creation, which cannot compare, ever repeat the words of the Creator? Ni'matun mahdha, fadlun mahdha, pure bounty, favor from Him. And so those that understood the value of this opportunity and capitalized on it, the chance to get near to Allah and have a relationship with Allah, like the prophets of God, and the pious who tried to follow in the footsteps of the prophets, these people lived truly special lives. They found themselves in a different world, a different atmosphere, where they were head over heels in love with Allah. And they could not resist, adoring Him. And they were willing to sacrifice anything, found it easy to sacrifice anything that it took, whatever the cost was, to please Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such a point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes them in one hadith and says, أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Those nearest servants of God, those who took the opportunity to get close, those nearest servants of God are those whom, when they are seen, meaning by others, when they're seen, Allah the Most High is remembered. Like, their lives revolve so much around Allah that if you would see them at any given moment, whether they're speaking or they're silent, they're acting or they're restraining themselves from action, it's all for Allah, by Allah, with Allah. They would remind you about Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because they tasted what it's like, and so they refuse to exchange this for anything. You know, every single one of us knows what I'm talking about. We've all experienced this in one occasion or another. Maybe a spiritual energizing moment you hear in a khutbah, or in Ramadan at some moment, an iman high, an iman boost they call it, when your faith is just revitalized. But what I'm saying is there are people who live there, who live at that station. And I'm not saying that because I know, because I live there. But because I believe Allah Azza wa Jal, and He showed us how some of the prophets lived there, for example. You know the story of Yunus alayhi salam is always worth mentioning here. Yunus alayhi salam, you know his story. But how? Explain to me how you get thrown off of a boat. in the middle of an ocean, get swallowed by a whale that plunges deeper with you into the ocean. And in that chaos, in that trauma, in that terror, you are collected enough to say, La ilaha illa ant, subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. No one is worthy of being recognized, not even in this moment. But you, glorified you are. He recognizes Allah's glory. How? You know, glorified you are here would mean what? You know, you say subhanallah, it means glorified is Allah above any imperfection. So what would be the imperfection at this moment? Glorified you are, O Allah, above not knowing what's going on right now. Glorified you are, O Allah, above not hearing me right now. Glorified you are above holding grudges and not forgiving me the way human beings hold grudges. Glorified you are, O Allah, above breaking your promises when you promise that no matter how many times we fail, you're still going to accept our redemption, accept our apologies, accept our repentance and our tawbah. He has it in him. This is a gift from Allah that he worked for, and so Allah Azza wa Jal inculcated it in him. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, was me, I messed up, it was my fault. Or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I woke up in the middle of the night and didn't find him next to me, he was gone. And so I stretched my hands in the dark looking for him, until my hands finally land on his heels, while they're erected, because he's in sujood, he's in prostration, and he is saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik, wa bi mu'afatika min uqubatik, wa a'udhu bika mink, la uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your anger, and in your forgiveness, your pardon, from your punishment. And I seek refuge, shelter, protection in you from you. How beautiful is that? Because his life revolves around him. I seek refuge in you from you. Then he says, La uhsi, I cannot count, list, calculate the praise, the flattery, the compliments, the attestations of perfection. I cannot enumerate praise for you. You are as you have praised yourself. So Aisha, and this is the point of reference really, for the contrast. Aisha radiallahu anha, at that moment she said, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَأَنْتَ فِي شَأْنٍ وَأَنَا فِي شَأْنٍ آخَرٍ. May my mother and my father be ransomed for you, Ya Rasulullah. This is an expression. The Arabs would use this to say, basically, may I be given a chance or an opportunity to show you how much you mean to me, that I would trade off my parents just to keep you. This is an expression of great veneration. She's saying, may my mother and my father be ransomed for you, Ya Rasulullah. You are somewhere, like you're in the middle of something, and I'm in the middle of something completely different. Like I'm getting up in the middle of the night, concerned, worried about where my husband is. And you're losing sleep over concern of what my station with Allah is. Is it still there? Can I climb higher? Is it in jeopardy? You are somewhere and I am somewhere completely different. You know those scenes? Now compare them with where we are. Where many a times we get duped, we slip into not having and keeping Allah in the center of our life, but we become the center of our own lives. Like we become self-centered, where we start believing the world revolves around us. This like exaggerated sense of individualism, excessive individualism, or egotism, where people think their lives are bigger than life itself. You know, a long time ago, it used to be a mental disorder for you to think that your life is bigger than life. But now, because everyone sort of like is showing signs of this, we kind of stop seeing it as a disorder. Narcissism. Where people need to know what I'm doing right now, status update. People need to know what I'm eating right now, so I have to take a picture and upload it to the world as if the world cares. And then ask yourself, is our life better now that we do this? That we've become the center of our lives. Is life sweeter? Is life nicer? Is life better? You know, many a times, as one brother said, he said, we even look at each other and we're jealous of each other and we don't realize that we're all faking it on each other. Like I look at this vacation picture on social media, so I wish my marriage was this sweet. And then I find out 3-4 weeks later, 3-4 months later, 3-4 years later, that Status update, they've been divorced.
Say what?
Like, I lost sleep worrying about, like, why can't I be like you guys? And then you're supposed to stop and say, wait a minute, who's really happy nowadays? Who's fulfilled nowadays when we became so self-centered? We've given up on trying to be happy. So many of us have lost hope on trying to be happy. And we've settled with convincing other people that we're happy. That's it. That's the best case scenario in many of us. If that reality of ours does not show us, remind us of the value, the pricelessness of Allah telling you, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I didn't create the humans or the jinn except to serve me. Not because I have any need. No, he's telling you that you have a need. Allah is not just listening for you as an empty, أعوذ بالله, exercise of power, that these are your obligations, you must serve me night and day. He's telling you, this is how you were created, this is how you function. If you try to serve any other cause, you will not function. You will be dysfunctional. You will be miserable. You will be unfulfilled. Just like the other ayah when Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, certainly it is in the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find inner peace, the hearts find rest. We don't say that the hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah. In the Qur'an, it doesn't exist. The Qur'an says, in the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find rest. It's different. The difference is what? If you say, the hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, that could be the beginning of a list. In the remembrance of Allah, comma, and also in reputation, and also in vanquishing people in arguments, and also in money, and also in women, and also in men, and also in fame, and also in food binging. It could be the beginning, these also give you rest. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, in the meaning only in the remembrance of Allah, living a life mindful of God, the way you were created to live, that is where you will find tranquility. That is where everything else is just a wild goose chase. Everything else is all a scam. You sell yourself a lie, and then you get upset that you believed it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. إن شاء الله this evening, semi-related, there will be a talk, inshallah, after Salat al-Isha, at 7 o'clock, on another angle of dealing with a godless lifestyle, the atheistic worldview. So be with us, inshallah, and bring your families. But what I wish to say to conclude the khutbah is that Allah Azza wa Jal reassured us through his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the past before this ummah, and also in this ummah, there will constantly be people that understand the value of this greatest gift and act on it. It's a standing offer, a standing opportunity. It is never too late so long as you're breathing. To accept Islam's proposition of the goodly life, the sweetness of life, and then becoming an asset for the rest of the world, because you will not save the world from drowning until you learn how to swim, until you become purposeful. And then thirdly, even at the end of your life, if you accept the proposition, even your death then will be nothing but an upgrade in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll give you two examples of this and close the khutbah. The first of them, in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said that there used to be a man among the nations before you who said, I will certainly give a sadaqah tonight. In private, in the dark, you know, seeing it. And so he went out and he gave sadaqah, and he heard rumors in the morning, تصدق البارحة على سارق, someone was giving sadaqah last night to a thief. Like some guys out and about robbing people, and this person put money in his hands voluntarily and walked away. So the man said, Alhamdulillah ala sarq, Alhamdulillah for a thief, so be it. I'm going to give another sadaqah tonight. And you need to also stop here and reflect. If this was your zakah, you wouldn't have to repay your zakah. Because Allah does not obligate you to know all things. Only Allah knows all things. You're obligated to do your due diligence. to do your best to assess, and if you find out later that your assessment was wrong, that's it, you did your part, you're fine. But he wanted to show Allah how bad he wanted to please him, how bad he wanted to connect with him. So a second night he goes and he gives another charity, and it's another misfire. He hears the people in the morning saying, someone gave charity last night to a prostitute. A woman going out and about in the night, selling her body, her honor, for money. And he gave her money, and he didn't get any service. It became like a joke in the town. I'm like, who's this fool? He said, Alhamdulillah for a prostitute. I'm going to give another charity tonight. And it's as if Allah Azza wa Jal was destining his lack of discernment, his inability to identify the rightful recipients, for a greater wisdom. And he goes and gives again another charity. And he hears the people in the morning saying, تصدق البارحة على غني. Someone gave charity last night to a rich person. Someone gave money to someone who has more money than them. Came like a mockery. He said, Alhamdulillah ala ghani. Alhamdulillah for a rich person. The Prophet ﷺ says, and then Allah reassured him with a dream. And we Muslims believe that dreams are reassurance. We are not prophets. Dreams are revelation for the prophets. We don't get our religion from dreams. Prophets do. Reassurance. He got a reassurance in his dream. He heard a voice saying, your charity has certainly been accepted in the heavens. Allah has lifted it into acceptance. And perhaps the thief and perhaps the prostitute will stop their ways. Because you know, many times people do haram things because they think they have to earn a haram income. They have no other option. So once they're landing a halal option, they stop. And as for the rich person, perhaps he will become more generous. Maybe it will remind him that back then when he had less, he used to give more. Or maybe he'll feel guilty that someone has less than him is giving more. And so what happened here? Number one, this man was so sincere in trying to connect with Allah that he tried to keep it secret, so that he's not doing it for multiple, for Allah and for some praise. He tried to keep it secret, so Allah made it a point that everybody hear about him. The Prophet ﷺ isn't told this about this incident. And this man, here in the khutbah, 1400 years later, I'm repeating the hadith, he's a source of even more inspiration for more and more people. This is the power of connecting with Allah. The benefit you are to yourself and to the world around you. And even look at the barakah, he was trying to feed somebody. He was trying to give somebody some clothing or some shelter, some worldly benefit. But because of his sincerity, Allah made him a betterment to their deen, to their hereafter, which is greater and more lasting. They will repent and he will start donating. And as for the second hadith, we only have 3-4 minutes left. In Surah An-Nasa'i, Shaddad ibn al-Had radiallahu anhu mentions that there was a man who happened to become Muslim among us, among the Sahaba, right before a battle took place. And he became Muslim and the army's heading out into a battle. After the battle, the Prophet ﷺ is giving out the spoils, the ghanaim. And so this person is nowhere to be found, so he sends him his share. He comes back and he refuses. He rejects it. He rejects the giving of the Prophet ﷺ. And he says to him, مَا عَلَى هَذَا التَّبَعْتُ. I did not become one of your followers for this, for worldly gains, for material gains. Though this would be halal, by the way, because Abu Bakr and Umar accepted. And the Prophet ﷺ is the one giving it. So for sure it's halal. So long as it's not your primary gain. So why isn't he accepting it? He's afraid. He's protective of his relationship with Allah. He's afraid that it tastes so good that next time it becomes my number one reason. My primary reason is not Allah anymore. And so he said, I didn't become your follower for it. He said, why did you become one of my followers then? قَالَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أُرْمَى هَهُنَا. He said, to be shot right here. He points at his neck. And perhaps the necessary disclaimer to make sure nobody gets uncomfortable, he's saying, I want to lay my life down for God, meaning die for a just cause, that God deemed just. Every single country celebrates people who they call veterans, who they believe, according to their definitions of justice, that they died for just causes. There's nothing shameful here. Martyrs are celebrated everywhere. So he said, I want to do this. I want to lay down my most prized asset, my life for God. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, أصدق الله يصدقك. Be truthful to Allah, He'll be truthful to you. And so, some time passes and another battle takes place. And after the battle, they come to the Prophet ﷺ carrying this man's body with an arrow exactly where he pointed. To the point that the Sahaba almost couldn't believe it. The Prophet ﷺ himself almost couldn't believe it. And he said, Ahua, Ahua, is that really, like, can that really be him? They said, yeah, he is, Ya Rasulullah, that's him. قَالَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فَصَدَقَهُ اللَّهُ وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّهِدِ. Said he was truthful to Allah. And so Allah showed his truthfulness, and I as well testify that he was truthful. There are so many places where this opportunity shines in your lives and in the lives of your family. I want you to consider after the khutbah on your own. How can I show Allah that I want to get close? Make my relationship with Him more meaningful. Start praying a quality prayer, on time, with a slow pace, consistently. Learn the meanings of what I'm saying. Develop some sort of awe of Allah, some khushu' in my prayer. And so many other things, in my ethical dealings, in my relationships, in my disagreements with people, opportunities to get close with Him. They all are. May Allah make us of those that appreciate every opportunity and act as best we can. Make us of those that taste the sweetness of faith and the firmness of conviction and the coolness of certainty in our deen, and place that in our lives and infuse the hearts of our children with it. Allahumma ameen.